Our text for this morning, beloved congregation, is from the portion of Scripture that we read from Isaiah chapter 40, especially the last verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Beloved congregation, at this time of the year, we typically interrupt our regular activities or routines of school and work and societies and the like. We, in a certain sense, stop them to focus on other things that need to be done. And especially we stop to take a break. We go, many of us that is, go on a little vacation or a long vacation, and we just take things slower if we are at home. Isn't it true? You could say, in a sense, a long season of work lies behind us, and our bodies and our minds tell us that we need to refresh and relax and regain some of the strength that we have lost. How thankful we are, we ought to be also, that God has given us the means whereby we can rest our bodies and our minds and regain some strength. But this is also true spiritually speaking. We need regular times for spiritual strength to be renewed. And our text this morning is a helpful guide. Let's listen to it by way of the theme, how spiritual strength is renewed. And we will consider, first of all, weariness. Secondly, waiting. And then thirdly, wings. All words in this passage, at least in some fashion. How spiritual strength is renewed, we'll consider weariness, waiting, and then wings. Weariness. First of all, we should pay attention to it that also the believers need their strength to be renewed. Believers need their strength to be renewed. If that were not the case, then the Lord would not have given this promise in His holy word. Believers become weary. Weariness, you could say, is part of spiritual life while in this world, congregation. As it is with our spiritual, every spiritual need. God has a remedy for each and for every one of them. But first of all, let's ask the question, how is it then that believers need to renew their strength? And let's consider that by five brief subpoints. First of all, believers need to have their strength renewed because the life that God requires from His people demands strength. Strength of character, strength of morals, strength of spirit, strength of faith, strength of patience, strength to fight, strength to be fixed, you might say, on the goal. This world that we are living in is not an easy place, no friend of the believer. Satan is not a mild force. And being a mother, a young mother and father of young children, is not easy. I don't know if the young parents have all experienced it, but your young strength can be so depleted. And so too the Christian life takes a lot out of God's people. Now we know that many people who count themselves Christians, they don't take this very seriously. And they say, what do you mean? I don't find the Christian life hard. I don't find it difficult to be a Christian. But then those persons should really examine themselves to see if they are truly Christians. Because the Apostle Paul does say at the close of Acts chapter 14, toward the close there, that it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of heaven. So that first of all, we need to have our strength renewed because the life that God requires demands strength. And secondly, we need to have our strength renewed because we are mortal. As we spoke of it that this past week, the wife of our sister Rika, he passed away. And that's a message that applies to each of us. We will not only die one day, but today we are already mortal. We are a dying people. And that's why our strength needs to be renewed. It's true the Lord gives us, especially when we are young, and some even when they are old, as we heard last week with respect to Caleb. But when we are young especially, the Lord gives us often a lot of strength. A human body, especially in the prime years, can be very strong. Young men and young women can do amazing things. And young people often feel also that they are pretty well invincible. You know how some of you have been when you were younger, and the younger ones will know it today. They can put in hard work, not only for 8 hours or 10 hours, but if necessary, they take 2 jobs, and they can work 16 hours a day or 18 hours, sleep a few hours, and then make their bodies do all sorts of things. And if they enjoy running or mountain climbing, things like those, they can push themselves as if there are no restrictions to their abilities. But the Bible says, and we know it ourselves too, don't we? In verse 30, in Isaiah 40, it says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." That's the lesson also to learn today. Our bodies cannot do everything we want our bodies to do. And how quickly the strongest among us can feel his or her weakness. We can get injured. We can get burned out. And then we need to slow down. We need a vacation. And not merely physically or mentally and emotionally, but also spiritually. Believers are mortal people as well. And so our strength is limited. Our strength, also our believer strength, runs out. Remember the account of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, who in 1 Kings 18 had been on Mount Carmel, calling down fire from heaven and resisting the Baal priests and prophets. And a few days later, what do we hear him say? In the wilderness, under a juniper tree, he said, "It is enough now. Lord, take away my life." Perhaps our outgoing elders and deacons can attest to that. And maybe the other elders who are not going out can attest to it as well. There are all these good and necessary things that you must do and that you had to do. But how often did you not come to the point that you said, I don't have the energy to do it. I need a break. And some of those who were here this past week at the neighborhood Bible school every night, and in some instances, mothers and fathers with their children every night. Somebody said it to me this morning. It was a little too much for me. But she was there. But it's possible to run out of steam, out of energy. We are mortal. So that's secondly. And then thirdly, we need our strength renewed because trouble wears us down. Trouble wears us down. Afflictions that come into our life can zap our strength. And especially if those afflictions come over weeks or months or even longer than that. Just think of that. If every day you wake up and you face that trial, or you face trouble in the family, and you have a burden to bear each day, keeps you awake at night, and it feels it never goes away. What happens? It can so weary your mind, your soul, and your body. You need the strength renewed, because trouble eats away at our strength. So that thirdly, and then fourthly, we need our strength renewed because believers backslide. Believers backslide. Spiritual life, beloved congregation, is not an even plane all the time. But once a while, there is a valley of backsliding. When things really get bad, so to speak. Every true believer who experiences and knows by experience the communion with the Lord, a close communion, he can find backsliding is right at his door or her door. And the believer who has just had this close communion can backslide. It's just like there is the pull of gravity that holds everything down and brings everything quickly down if it is simply thrown up into the air, as it were. So it is with spiritual life. It is subject to that downward force. And that's the fourth reason that we need to have our strength renewed. And fifthly, we need to have our strength renewed because our sin drags us down. Remember the picture of Hebrews chapter 12, the cloud of witnesses and then running the race set before us? That's what the Christian life is. A race. And then the author to the Hebrews, he speaks about, let us lay down every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. You know, these people who are jogging and they go through these 25Ks. Imagine that you see them running and they have a boulder somehow attached to that one leg or both legs. They couldn't run. They couldn't do the 25K. And it's in that sense in the life of a believer, congregation. Imagine that you have this boulder, the sin that so easily besets you. You can't run the race. And you can't resolve it by taking a knife or another tool and cut through. The cord that holds that boulder in place on your leg, as it were. And then thinking, now I'm good to go. Because you see, sin is not only something that you have on your leg and you can just slice it off. But it's in your heart. That's where it has its source. And that sin from your heart produces boulder upon boulder. And when you get rid of one sin, it's like there is another one. So quickly. And you get the basic point, I hope. If there were no sin, there would be no weariness. And if there would be no weariness, then there would be no need to have our strength renewed. But because there is sin, even the youths, verse 20 says, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Who here this morning is weary? Who here this morning is weary? I mean, especially spiritually weary. Your soul just feels tired. So tired. You feel, as it were, curling up in a ball to go to sleep. That's how tired you feel. Perhaps you have battled hard for some time, and you just can't seem to win, and you're so tired. Or you have backslidden, as I just referred to the point that your spiritual muscles have become stagnant, and you can hardly take any more steps. Or perhaps trouble has pressed you down week after week, month after month, maybe even a year or more. And you're so tired. Or the world is buffeting at you through the people, perhaps at work, or your family, or just anyone else around you. Anyone here like that? Then our text this morning has something just for you. What is it? Listen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is hope. It's possible for your strength to be renewed, that depleting feeling can be exchanged, and you can feel fresh and energetic and strong again. That's possible. How? You may wonder. Well, let's look at that in our second point this morning, congregation. Waiting. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Maybe you think for a moment, how surprising. How surprising. How peculiar also a remedy the Lord gives us here. I need to wait upon the Lord. Now it may be helpful for you and me to just think for a moment what the people who are not believers, who are not Christians, what they do in the world around us when they are burned out. They do something like this or many other things, but let me just mention a couple. They simply try to escape or change their circumstances. I'm burned out at my job. They say, I'm going to start looking for another job. That may be harder to do nowadays, but you know, that's how it's been in the past, has it not? Or I am weary of my lot in life. I'm simply going to escape it somehow. How? Well, I'll figure it out. That's one way of doing it. Or someone else says, no, I'm going to see a counselor. I hope he can help me work through why this burnt out came into my life. What were the steps that brought it on, so that maybe I can go back on those steps? I'm not saying anything against that as such, congregation. That may be necessary. We need to make sure then that we go see a Christian counselor who will give us a Christian worldview and Christian counsel. Or others will say, I'm burned out. I talked to a counselor and I just need to learn again something that I guess I never learned, but how to relax. And he's given me some relaxation techniques, stress management, or something like, and again, I'm not saying there's something wrong with that as such, but that's not the remedy that we read of in our text here this morning, congregation, when it comes to spiritual weariness or spiritual faintness. Isaiah says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Literally, the prophet says, the waiters on the Lord, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So there is a kind of people that renews, their strength. They wait upon the Lord. What does it mean, congregation? In one of the congregations where I served, I had a man, he thought it meant you had to do everything for the Lord. Just like my wife waits on me, he said, that's how I have to wait on the Lord. She brings me coffee, she makes me the meal, and so we have to now serve. We do need to serve the Lord, don't misunderstand. But when the text says they that wait upon the Lord, that's something other. Negatively, it means not just sitting back, a false kind of passivity. You just do nothing. You have to wait. Sit back and think. If God will renew my strength, then He will renew my strength. That's not what it is to wait upon the Lord. No, that is devastating. Then you would never have your strength renewed, congregation. Waiting on the Lord does not mean just sitting on the sidelines with your arms crossed and waiting to see if God will do something in your life. So that's not what it means. Positively, we could say, and here you have a definition of waiting on the Lord, it is the believing expectation in the Lord, or the expectation of the Lord while believing. And the Bible speaks often about this, does it not? Waiting upon the Lord, that's actually another word in the Bible for trusting in the Lord, or another word for faith. Especially the patience of faith, the endurance of faith, and the eagerness of faith. Those that expected from the Lord. And you may know that the English word expect consists of two parts, an ex, which means out, and spect. Actually, there's supposed to be an S, but because of the an S, because of the X, you don't add the S, but it means X out, and spect means to see, to look, and expect means to look out, or outwards, if you wish, to see if something soon will happen. And perhaps you can think of a child who is looking for his birthday. How many more days? And every day he sees that day of his birthday come closer. Mommy, how many more days and nights? And the mommy tells him, oh yeah. And the next morning he says, Mommy, how many more days? He can hardly wait. And the last night, tomorrow's going to be my birthday. He can hardly fall asleep that night, maybe. That's kind of the picture. David waiting upon the Lord. You read it in the Psalms. On thee do I wait all the day. John Owen, in a sermon on this text, beloved congregation, mentions three things to describe positively what it is to wait on the Lord. First of all, he says, eyeing the Lord. As David says, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. From Psalm 123, verse 2. And he goes on to say, God expresses it by looking. Look unto me, the Lord says in Isaiah 45. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Or Psalm 5, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, says David, and I will look up. That's verse 3 in Psalm 5. So that's first of all, to wait upon the Lord is to have your eyes fixed on the Lord. And secondly, John Owen says, it is endurance. And he says, many a one will cast a look toward God, but is quickly weary. This is not waiting, casting a look upon God, But he says, he that will wait on God is to do it in patience against all discouragements and oppositions that may rise from our own hearts and temptations. When God comes not in as we desire, nor such a progress is made as we would have, yet if we look unto God, that is patient waiting. So that's the second thing that John Owen mentions. First of all, eyeing God, and then endurance. Patiently waiting. And then thirdly, he uses the word that I have already used, the word expectation. And he says, it's a wondrous sorry waiting when we do not expect something from him. Where there is no expectation, there is no waiting. Look to God with expectation to receive things suitable to what we expect. And then we shall see his infinite bounty and goodness. This is waiting upon God. Now this much about what John Owen says about a congregation. Eyeing God, endurance, and expectation. Allow me to add two other E words. Words that begin with an E. First of all, the word earnestness. Waiting upon God involves being earnest, serious. If we are not serious in our waiting upon God, then we find the calls of the world just pulling us away again and again. For this we need to be serious, earnest, to have this goal that we wish to have. And then we are not so quickly distracted from it. So that fourthly, you might say this morning, earnestness. And then fifthly, finally, eagerness. Eagerness. Waiting on God involves not only being earnest and serious, but it involves an eagerness. Someone who waits upon God is eager to have what he is waiting for. He's just not earnest and expectant, but he is eager, like the psalmist says in Psalm 84, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's the attitude of someone who is waiting upon God. And then notice that Isaiah says, especially they that wait upon the Lord. And I think most of our Bibles use the capital letters for Lord, that is Jehovah or Yahweh. They that wait not just upon something, but upon the Lord. Those who desire to have their strength renewed. They cannot have just some vague focus. It's not just something that you want to have for yourself, whereby life is a little better than it is now. But it is the Lord for whom you wait. It's not just a positive kind of thinking, as some people put it. No, you focus on the faithful God, the covenant God, the God of the promise, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for this sent his Son, and who came and he allowed his body to become weakened, and his soul he suffered weakness. He became as a worm in Gethsemane. And he laid down his life. That they that wait upon the Lord for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ will find that this God will reveal himself to them. As Isaiah 40 puts it, the incomparable God, verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? And then he pictures him as the sovereign God. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Verse 22. The powerful God. He says he is strong in power. Verse 26. And I ask you, congregation, is it him that you are eyeing? Weary one among us. It's so important to be focused on him, himself, as he reveals himself in his word. As I said, as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Review that for yourself. Are you focused on the Lord? Jehovah, the faithful God. If you are simply focused on a cold, immovable potentate, then you are not waiting on the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you are focused on just some things that you think you need in this life, then you are not waiting on the Lord. True waiting upon the Lord, congregation, is something that the Holy Spirit teaches God's people. He directs them again and again. How? By his word, taking you to the cross of Calvary and seeing the second person of the Holy Trinity having assumed our flesh and blood, bearing our sins in his body, on account of which we have this weariness, and fulfilling all righteousness, and saying at the end, it is finished. And when the Spirit takes you there, and the Scriptures come to your ear, and are brought home in your heart, then he makes you know your need of this Lord, and no one else beside him. And then you realize that any other focus in your life is not the right focus. It won't get you where you have to be. And so the Holy Spirit makes you say, O Lord Jehovah, the faithful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I must wait upon thee. I will wait upon thee all the day. O Spirit of the Father and of the Son, enable me. Teach me, direct me, help me. And then allow me to bring up particularly two specific ways in which the Holy Spirit does this, congregation. A person who waits upon the Lord is a person who is in earnest prayer. In earnest prayer. You could say that the person who waits upon the Lord can hardly get enough of prayer. Have you ever that earnestness and that desire for prayer in your life? Not that you simply pray in the morning and at night and at a mealtime, but during other things. While you're in the kitchen, at the kitchen island, and that you go in earnest prayer. That you're driving down the road and you keep your eyes on the road. But you look to the Lord who is in heaven. And as you run into difficulties at your work or in your business, or you run into difficulties with your children, your son, then you say, Lord, I'm looking to thee. I'm waiting upon thee. And then when you have a quiet hour, then you don't say, well, I have nothing to do, I'm just gonna relax. No, then you take that quiet hour to kneel before the Lord and to pour out your heart to the Lord. And then you say, Lord, I am weary, I am faint. Teach me to wait on thee. Lord, I need thy strength. Lord, help me to look to thee alone. So that first, earnest prayer, that's how you wait on the Lord. You could say that is your meeting with God. And the second specific way of waiting on the Lord is then also meeting with God's people. Because When you wait upon the Lord, you also go to hear what God's word will speak there, where his people gather together in church. It's often a means of grace, is it not? When was that in the case of Asaph? In Psalm 73, remember? Till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. And sometimes that's where you meet someone else. How are you? I've had a rough time. But this morning, the Lord spoke. And the other person stops by. Tomorrow, the day after. How are you doing? And then you have a true friend of your soul. Christ has promised to be there where two or three are met together in his name. And then you can encourage one another in waiting upon the Lord. You can pray for one another while waiting. Yes, God can use fellow Christians to be an answer to your prayer as they encourage you with the promises of God. And if that's how you wait, congregation, if that's how you wait expectantly and eagerly and earnestly, what will happen? You will renew your strength. That's what happens. Notice that it does not say in our text, they that wait upon the Lord will come to a point in their lives that they will no longer be waiting upon the Lord, because the Lord will come and all will be well from there on. No, that's not what it says. It says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. What does that mean? It means that it is in waiting upon the Lord that the Lord renews your strength. You understand that? Maybe you don't even think of that at that moment. Maybe you don't realize it till later. And then you say, it was so remarkable. I was waiting on the Lord, and I did not realize it. But I look back now, and God was renewing my strength. He was taking that weakness from me, and he gave me strength. So it doesn't mean that that happened and all of a sudden. But perhaps in review, as you look back, and you say, what a blessed time that was while waiting upon God. In that process, the Lord was renewing my strength while I was waiting for him. And isn't this, congregation, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't this the empty hand that receives everything from him? Not because that faith of mine is so great, but because of that weak faith, perhaps, of mine leans on that which is so great. It is strength because Jehovah is strong, and when we wait on him, our strength is renewed. When we flee to the Lord Jesus with our empty, our needy hands, and we but simply trust in the finished work of our Savior, his cross, his atoning work, what more is there than that? While waiting to receive it all from the Lord, you are receiving it. In your weakness, you are made strong through strength supplied by him. And the opposite is also true, congregation. They that wait not upon the Lord shall not renew their strength. Or they can be a bodybuilder. That's not what our text is speaking about. Those who know not what it is to wait upon the Lord one they will find their body so weak. And it can be in a flash, in an accident, and they stand before God and get cast out. Or it can be a slow process. And they say, I'm not going to wait for God. I think I've done my best in my life. And again, they stand before Him. And the non-waiters upon the Lord will be cast out. And in spiritual life, you also need to realize that, congregation, when there is not a waiting upon the Lord, and you have known of a waiting upon the Lord, and you have known of a renewing of strength, if you try to continue running in your own strength, you will find yourself becoming more and more weak. But when we know this God, this Savior, this Holy Spirit, and our need of Him, and we rest our heavy laden souls on Christ, and while we wait on the unchanging God, then we are renewed. And it takes us to our final point, congregation, the wings. And I can say that this could be a separate sermon. And I have been thinking, I hope to come back to it sometime down the road. This text contains so much. It mentions walking, running, and flying. You see that in the Christian life there is movement. Think of Pilgrim's Progress. Or it may feel like Pilgrim's Regress. But the psalm says, Psalm 84, they onward go where saints have trod, till everyone at length appears in Zion's courts before his God. That's the progress. Sometimes it's walking. Sometimes it is running in the strength of the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes it's even flying. That's the blessed truth for those who hope and wait upon the Lord. If you don't wait upon the Lord, then it will be falling and sinking down. But they that wait upon the Lord, it will be walking, running, flying. I only have time to say something about the flying. The wings, they shall mount up with wings. As someone has translated it this way, they shall put forth fresh feathers like the mounting eagle. Or Psalm 103. Remember, it says that their youth is renewed like the eagles. And you know how that goes with an eagle, with apparent no effort on the part of the eagle. He mounts into the sky. And Isaiah says, so God's people that wait upon the Lord will mount up from the depth of their difficulties and dereliction and other trials. And they will not stumble. They will not fall to the earth. But rather, they will have the ease of an eagle. They will soar on high. I must say, congregation, that this being mounted up with wings is not how usually it is. Archibald Alexander puts it this way. In general, he says, the course of the humble believer is not an eagle's flight. God's child has his nights of weeping and often fears that the mercy of God is clear gone. But if he enjoys seasons of soaring high like an eagle, he says they are few and far between, yet he rejoices in the recollection of them. Steady walking is the common method in the life of a Christian. And yet this is the promise that they that wait upon the Lord. And congregation, I do not know of any more important thing for us to do than this very thing, to wait upon the Lord. Whether you know you belong to Christ or whether you do not know that you belong to Christ. But this is important, to wait upon the Lord. If you are weary, wait upon the Lord, and God will renew your strength. He'll give you to walk and perhaps even winks. And this is not only true individually, but this is also true for the church, for the congregation. If our strength is gone, dear congregation, what shall we do? Let us wait upon the Lord. Let's wait upon Jehovah. The day may come when we shall once again soar as with wings like the eagles. Young people, you are stronger than most of us. And that's a great blessing. But the Bible does say that you too can faint and grow weary. You too must wait upon the Lord eagerly, earnestly, expectantly, through strength bestowed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair. The psalmist says, till in thy house of prayer, all was made plain. Ever, O Lord, with thee, all shall be well with me. Held by thy hand, and thou shalt guide my feet by thy own counsel sweet, till I for glory meet, in glory stand. Make that to be our portion in the way of waiting upon thee, eyeing thee, waiting with endurance, with expectation, with earnestness and eagerness, and to find that thou in that way, for the sake of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, whom thou didst cast from thy presence, that thou wilt renew the strength of those that wait upon thee and give them to mount up with wings like eagles, granted to each of us and to this congregation. Prepare us for this evening, the brothers who will be ordained to the special office, and the brothers who may leave the special office for a time. Bless them all in mercy. Bless John Mustafa in the Netherlands. Grant him a safe journey, and bless the treasures that he encountered and the trials to work together for good for his soul and the ministry ahead, in Jesus' name, in the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen.